Well, we're going to just spend a little bit of time tonight preparing for Friday night. Friday night at 7 p.m., we're asking all of you to join us, as many as will, online or in person. We're going to have a time of prayer, intercession, and a time of praying over our nation and praying concerning specifically with thousands of other Christians concerning the war in Iran, and then also praying for the sick. I want to mention tonight for all of you that are watching, I had some other people praying this afternoon, but Miss Delma, the dear lady that we love so much, was taken to the hospital again this afternoon in severe pain, and she's fighting something that is really serious, but all things are possible through Christ. And so we've got other people praying, and Delma, you're healed. If you're hearing this or watching this, in Jesus' name, we're believing God with you. All things are possible in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we believe when we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Friday night, we're going to be joining the group at the church in Middletown, Ohio, Pastor Tim Sheets, and it's going to be praying. They usually term that healing summit, and this time I don't know if it's still the same, but we're going to be asking. We're one of the host churches in this area. We're going to be able to stream with what we've got. We still won't get our company can't even get out here until Monday of next week to put us back online with our cable. But hallelujah, that doesn't stop the anointing, does it? Praise God. Let's prepare a little bit tonight. I want you to just listen. We're going to talk about prayers of intercession and angels, and then we're going to watch a short clip here in a little bit as an advertisement going into Friday night and getting us ready to spend some time. I'm going to ask if you come, that you're willing to stay here for a few hours, from 7 to, we're going to look at least maybe stay until 10 o'clock. And that's should be easy for us prayer warriors. Hallelujah. Prayers of intercession and angels. We're going to specifically talk some about angels and what, because I think some of the prayers that we're going to be praying Friday night are going to be releasing the angelic host in the heavenlies, along with whatever, you know, obviously it all comes from the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to read some scripture here. You can follow along with me. I'll announce the scripture. You can turn there if you can. We won't stay long on all of these, but we'll stay long enough to just kind of highlight the necessity to believe God that when we pray and that when we intercede, that angelic forces are being released when we speak the word of God. And so we know that part of intercession, especially when we're speaking the word of God, you know, there's an intercession that comes by praying in other tongues and the deep groanings of the Spirit. And we're not going to get into that's a whole nother subject. But intercession can also be praying with our interpretive language, the language that we speak. And so when we speak the word of God, we want to be conscious that we are releasing God's word into the atmosphere and releasing and giving angels a charge to do those things which are according to the mind of Christ. We can't manipulate angels. We don't do that. We can't make them do what we say. But we can speak the word of God, and their response is that they will respond to truth. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14 says this, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So this tells us they're sent forth to minister with us and for us saints in our labors that were directed by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me that God created these beings that are not human beings, and yet God has placed them with us to co-labor on this planet and take dominion over the works of the enemy, and then also help us in laboring for the harvest, for the outpouring. Now, angels don't heal, but angels can bring forth an atmosphere that is conducive for faith. And they can bring forth an atmosphere that is conducive for the Holy Spirit. And what atmosphere is they're bringing forth a presence of God, a presence of the Holy Spirit. And as they do, and as they co-labor with the saints, we can know this, that God is using these angels to minister along with us and co-labor with the heirs of salvation. Psalms chapter 103, verses 19 through 22 says this: "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Aren't you glad? Over all. Hallelujah. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Hallelujah. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. I was laboring, teaching a Bible study many years ago, and I began to teach on this and talk about how that we've got to speak the word for them to hearken to it. A guy was a little bit contentious, and he said, no, it's just the word. They hearken to what God has said in his word. Well, yes, that's kind of true. They're going to be obedient to God, the angels of light, of course. But they're hearkening to the voice. If words mean anything, it says the voice of his word. So what kind of, they're waiting for us to speak. This word in itself has no voice, except it come through us. And so, hallelujah, as we speak the word and we say, a mockery will be saved. And we say, because Jesus said that he's the Lord of the harvest, and say not that 4 months, yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. The harvest is now. Hallelujah. So we're speaking those words. Angels are hearing those things. And we're going to speak words Friday night that is conducive for angelic hosts to get involved. Hallelujah. 103:21 says, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts." And it's talking of the angels. "Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, here's another. This is a just more ammunition. There is so much. Of course, there's probably hundreds of references to angels in the Word of God in both Old and New Testament. But I just picked one here, and I can't go into the whole elaboration of the story tonight because it's too long. I mean, it starts in 2 Kings chapter 18. If you want to read it tomorrow and go through 18 and 19. But these are in the days of King Hezekiah, which was one of the great notable kings of Judah. And a wonderful king. And Hezekiah had a revival. It was very, very powerful. But in, I think it's the 14th year of his reign, I might be wrong on that, don't quote me, the Assyrians came. And the Assyrians came in chapter 18, and they came with an incredible force of men. And as a result of it, it just looked like that it was doomsday. There was nothing they could do. And in fact, the men that came from the Assyrians came, and they began, they were held up in Jerusalem. And they came to taunt them, and they were there, and the city was besieged. And they begin to mock them in chapter 18, and they begin to mock them by their, you know, their king was Sennacherib, and they begin to say to them, "Who is going to deliver you from us?" And they begin to say, "Don't let your king Hezekiah talk you into believing that your God is going to deliver you." And then they began to taunt them in such a way to say, "Here's our record as we have come across the continent or come across the land, we have destroyed this kingdom, this kingdom, this kingdom. And they said none of their gods, the gods of these kingdoms, were able to save them. And they began to say, your God's not going to be able to save you as well. So they were actually blaspheming. They were actually taunting them and saying there's no way that this is going to. And they actually, in the latter part of chapter midway to chapter 19, they sent a letter to Hezekiah, conditions of surrender, basically. And in verse 14, I'm just going to read that because I'm skipping over a whole bunch of stuff, but because we're talking about the power of the angelic host and what they did then, they certainly have the power to do now on the directives of Holy Spirit and on the power of God. In verse 14, it says this, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. Lord, bow down thine ear. Bow down thine ear and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. So Sennacherib actually in this taunting said, God has sent me. He's come to destroy you. And he was saying basically because God is angry with you and you have, and it's just like the devil. To say, you know, God's not going to deliver you, and I have the authority to beat up on you and do whatever I want to do. But then Isaiah, the prophet, in verse 20 says this, Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, I have heard. And then in verse 32, skipping down, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor cast before it with shield or cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, and by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake, for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass, in verse 35, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Hallelujah. What can angels do? And what can angels do in our personal life as we speak the word of God? What are they going to be able to do as thousands, and really I think there's going to be hundreds of thousands of Christians praying Friday night concerning the war in Iraq, because there's hundreds and hundreds of churches and people around the world that are going to be praying. Because we know this, this is not just a military war, this is a spiritual war over the Prince of Persia. And, you know, you could... They're so evil, that the regime, and I'm not talking about all of, there's some innocent people there, the citizens themselves, they want to be set free from this regime. But the regime is so evil and has so demonically possessed, there's no amount of military might that you of any one nation could do to ever make them quit in and of themselves. It's going to have to be on the part. Yes, we have to use whatever military might that God directs, but it's going to have to be something in the spirit realm for this to ever come to a place of settlement. The amazing part in verse 35 to me is always, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord, it doesn't even say this was Michael. You know, he's one of the really chief angels. That came, and or Gabriel, was mentioned in Daniel, and the angel in Daniel said, yeah, Michael came. We know enough about Michael that when Michael shows up, things happen. And so it doesn't even say this was Michael. It could be. We don't know. But it just says an angel. So I like to think of this just a common angel. You know, I don't, and I'm not being disrespectful, Father, to you or your angels, but this might have been Charlie the angel. You know, so we're gonna who do you want to send? Let's send Charles down. You know, and he just wipes out 185,000, just one angel. So we have an incredible military force with the angelic host. And they are at our disposal through the Holy Spirit as we look to Him, and He dispatches. He does. And so 185,000 destroyed in one night. And of course, it turned the whole tide of everything. This psalm, if you're ever interested, and I hope you are, of correlating old things in the Old Testament with certain psalms that took place, this psalm was actually written. Most scholars, or many scholars, believe that this psalm, Psalms 46, was actually written. I looked this up today. Actually, I was hearing somebody else talk about this, and I thought, I wonder if they're really right on that. I was listening to a song by Shane and Shane, and they used this psalm, and they said this was after this particular, it was written according to 2 Kings chapter 19. I looked it up, did some study on it a little bit, and sure enough, it is. And this is Psalms 46 and verse 1. And most scholars, or many scholars, they say, I would say most scholars, based on what I was reading, believe that this psalm is in accordance, was written in accordance with that particular time with Isaiah prophesying to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah trusting in the Lord and God sending His angel. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Amen. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in her midst, in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Well, he sure did then, and he can now. Hallelujah. You know, God can send his angels over there as we begin to speak Friday night. And, you know, I'm going to leave that up to God, what he does. And I'm not going to prescribe or describe to him how to, but he can send the angels. And if he could just send one with this authority, wow. So he maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just give a couple of examples about some New Testament angels. They're all, whether old or new, they're the same. Angels never die. Hallelujah. It's amazing. Angels, they never die. Principalities and powers in the evil realm. The same ones that were over there 4,000 years ago, that's the same ones that are there today. The same bunch. Man has come and gone. And now we've got nuclear weapons, but they had swords and spears back in the day of Hezekiah. But the same principalities and the same powers are still over there today. Acts chapter 5, I like this because it tells how that angels, simple story, not simple in the sense of the power of truth, but this is the disciples. This is right after the word says that Peter's shadow was healing, and the proximity of Peter's shadow was healing, and so many wonderful things were taking place in Jerusalem. And verse 17 of chapter 5 says this: Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, or extremely jealous of everything that was going on in the church, the ecclesia, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Isn't that amazing? And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate and the children of Israel sent to the prison to have them brought. Well, they got a rude awakening. It's about to take place. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly we found shut with safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one of them and told them, saying, Behold, this is awesome. Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. So this is amazing. Again, this is New Testament, of course. The angelic host, there's many, many references through the New Testament of how they work with the church. Now, I don't know. Here they were put into prison, and an angel came, took them out, and told them. He didn't tell them go home or hide. He told them, go right back to where they arrested you at. Go right back and speak the words of life, speak the words of power, speak the gospel. And so here we see angels laboring with the church, and we're going to see that a whole lot more in the days ahead. You know, we've been speaking that we want Holy Ghost manifestations, but we want the Holy Spirit to bring in myriads of angels over this region and over this church, and an atmosphere that's very conducive for the power of God. And so, hallelujah. Go get them out of prison. Well, they weren't there. And then while they're saying they weren't there, then the guy comes in and say, you know those guys you're looking for? They're back in the temple where we arrested them at. So, hallelujah for the power of the God and the power of his angelic host. No fear here. You know, the enemy, which is our enemy, God's enemy, Satan, likes to make such a big deal of himself. But really, according to Scripture and the power of God, this is what God's Word. I'm just going to read God's Word and let you know. Out of the book of Revelation, chapter 20, I like this. It says this, and John saw this, and he said, I saw, verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 1, he said, and I saw an angel. Now, I don't know, this might have been Michael, or it might have been Charles. I don't know. But it was just an angel. Hallelujah. It didn't say it took 15 or 20 angels. It didn't say it took all the host of heaven. It says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. and he laid hold on the dragon. And just in case anybody wondered, who are they talking about? Maybe he just describes the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive, should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he's loosed a little season. If you went on, he's loosed a little season, but then at the end, he gets his just and rightful damnation. He's cast forever, the Bible says, into the lake of fire. And praise God. But what we see here and what I'm getting across to you is this. An angel took the God of this world, he's not God, but took the God of this world and by the authority and the power of God cast him by just one angel, cast him into the bottomless pit and put a seal over him and said, you're not going to deceive anyone else for 1,000 years. And we praise God. That's a time to come. Now we're in a war. We're still in that war. There's a lot of deception taking place, but we win, we win, we win. Hallelujah. So we're going to watch a more, just this was a good video, I believe, as an advertisement for Friday night that Dutch did. And then after we watch this, I'll come back with some closing statements and a prayer. Amen.
Hello, thank you for joining me today for Give Him 15, the title, From Middletown to the Middle East. There's much evil in the world. This will not end until Jesus personally deals with it fully. Dictators and their regimes kill and torture people. Demonized individuals kill and maim others. And power-hungry people oppress others for personal gain. Just this week, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signed a law allowing babies to be killed in the womb up until full term. In a heinous act of moral depravity, the entourage of 20 or so around her clapped gleefully along with hell as she signed it. They should all be made to watch several fully grown babies be butchered while writhing in pain. Maybe they would find some heart. We will be joining together this Friday night praying against evil in Iran. I appreciate the president's hesitancy to unleash a full-scale war against Iran, not wanting to kill innocent people. The reality is that the wicked Islamist regime holds millions of Iranians hostage, using them as leverage while they kill infidels, spread their oppression. They know America doesn't want to destroy innocent people, so they hide among them, using them as shields, just as they've done in Gaza, Lebanon, and elsewhere. Those overseeing these actions epitomize evil. They are the Hitlers of our day. Trump took action to keep Iran from finishing their nuclear program, which would have enabled them to kill millions with the push of a button. Spread their wicked ideology. With nuclear weapons, they could hold not only their own people hostage, but much of the world. This could not be allowed, so he took action. Now they hold the world hostage to a degree in the Strait of Hormuz. Though their military is crushed and their economy in shambles, they don't care as much about this as they do their evil agenda. Like dictators everywhere, they certainly don't care about the suffering of their people, as long as they themselves have plenty to eat. But again, I respect President Trump's desire not to see millions of innocent Iranians killed. There seems to be no good natural solution, which is why we must pray. The conflict is spiritual at its core. The regime in Iran doesn't even deny this. Their desire is to spread their ideology, whatever it takes. And of course, they are led by the principality or the Prince of Persia mentioned in Daniel 10. And of course, Persia is modern day Iran. In spite of the evil, be encouraged that our all-wise God is always ahead of Satan and his plans. He uses even the evil of the wicked to bring about good. I've been told by very credible sources that the underground church in Iran is exploding. At the time this wicked regime took the nation over in 1979, there were 75,000 mosques in Iran. 75,000. It's now down to 25,000. 50,000 of them have closed. There were 500 known believers in all of Iran when this takeover occurred. Now there are several million. Most Iranians are completely disillusioned with Islam and are seeking answers elsewhere, especially the young generation, which is the majority of the population. God has already begun the great harvest there. I believe, as do many spiritual leaders, that the revival in Iran will multiply exponentially. Then it will become a base from which the gospel goes to the entire Middle East. I believe this will be the beginning of the great billion soul harvest in the Middle East and around the world. This is why we are praying Friday night. Yes, it is to ask God for wisdom for the president, to help him deal with the overall conflict. But even more importantly, it is to see the back of the strongholds of darkness in that region broken. We know that God can do what armies cannot. And he works through prayer. The ecclesia is rising to her calling, authority, and partnership with the Lord. As my spiritual father, Jim Hodges, said, the ecclesia is going from Middletown to the Middle East this Friday night. The posts for the remainder of this week will be a little shorter than normal, just as this one, as I spend much time preparing my heart for this gathering. Tomorrow we'll talk about the nature of the prayer that will take place Friday night. It'll not be a night of shouting at principalities and powers. It'll be a night of petitioning the Lord and releasing spirit-led biblical decrees over the region. Then on Friday, I'll share a couple of encouraging dreams that members of the team have had during the last few days. Let's pray. Father, our hearts break over the suffering that has and continues to take place in Iran and other parts of the world. But our hearts also rejoice in what you are doing. You are ushering millions of people into your family, transferring them from the kingdom of darkness to your kingdom of light. This will not be stopped. It will increase and multiply. The victory of Calvary will be felt around the world, and your kingdom will advance. Give us wisdom and understanding as we plan for this Friday night. Lead us in our prayers and decrees. Mobilize many to be a part of it live, and many more later as they watch the recording. We are asking you for millions of believers around the world to agree in prayer regarding your plans for the people of Iran, this great worldwide harvest. Change the world that night. Please continue to give our president and his advisors great wisdom. Do not let them be late or early in any decisions they make. Do Do not let them be deceived by lying negotiators or bow to inappropriate pressure from other leaders. Protect them, their families, staff. We pray that you protect all who come and go from this gathering Friday night. And all of this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And finally, we decree that the advance of the gospel throughout the world will not be stopped. Join.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, shorter service, but hallelujah. Let's all stand. We're going to get ready, and I hope you can join us Friday night and be here and be ready to pray. Hallelujah. The Family Prayer Center ought to be a place where the family comes and centers for prayer. Right? Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, Lord, with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our bodies, everything invested. Abba, we love you. We're asking you to take us to the next level and to bring our authority and the authority of those that are watching, their family members, everybody that's watching is family, Lord, for the most part, family of this family. And so we're just asking that we'll all join together and be used by your used in exerting and releasing the authority of Christ in us and through us on Friday night. And we bless you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you all. Blessings to all of you.